from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. As Democratic lawmakers remain fractured over whether to initiate impeachment proceedings against President Trump, we'll talk to one of the earliest and staunchest proponents of impeachment, liberal activist and philanthropist Tom Steyer. Then at 10:30, one homeowner in an exclusive Piedmont neighborhood has done something almost unheard of. He opened his doors to a couple who have been living on the streets for nearly a decade. They're now living in an in-law unit on his property. San Francisco Chronicle East Bay columnist Otis R. Taylor Jr. will join us to talk about the story. That's next, after this news. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Since 2017, when he founded the Need to Impeach movement, billionaire, environmentalist, and Democratic donor Tom Steyer has been urging lawmakers, funders, and the public to push for the impeachment of President Trump. Steyer says that the president, whom he calls lawless and unfit, has committed at least 10 impeachable offenses, including obstruction of justice and collusion. But impeachment remains unpopular among voters, with only 39% supporting it. That's according to a recent NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll. We're going to talk this segment with Tom Steyer about why he thinks the president should be removed from office ahead of the 2020 election and about his new campaign to disbar Attorney General William Barr for allegedly lying to Congress. Welcome back to Forum, Tom Steyer.
Michael, thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you. And let's really go right at this, because, as I said, you've pretty much spelled out, we'll get into the articles of why you feel the president should be impeached, but lawless, not fit for the job, the man who would be king and autocratic. And many people see things the way you do, but many people disagree with impeachment. And particularly Nancy Pelosi says we got to wait till 2020 and get him, beat him by a large margin. And a lot of Northern California congressional representatives who are saying the same thing. Let's gather the facts. Let's find out before we move forward with this.
Well, Michael, I think at this point, we've been arguing for a year and a half that this president has met the criteria, deserves to be removed from office. And the two things that you taught, we hired some lawyers to come up with a legal definition of what the criteria are. But the two things that I've talked about are obstruction of justice, because I could see it real time, and the Mueller report is just a thorough investigation and explanation of obstruction of justice, and corruption, which is that the president takes money personally from foreign countries and from American companies under his jurisdiction through his real estate operations. And I've said from the beginning, this is clear. We can see it every day. And so for a year and a half, we've been arguing he's met the criteria to be removed. I think at this point, everybody realizes that's true. I think the argument about that is over.
Let's assume that you are correct, and there are many people who believe you are correct, indeed support the premise that you just put forward. We just heard from Sean Walsh, a GOP advisor, in the last segment, who said, he was talking about Barr, and we'll get to Barr here, but he said essentially, you might get through the House of Representatives, but you're not going to convict him because the Senate is fully behind him, and it's absolutely futile.
Well, I think that that takes out of the equation the most important thing in the United States, and that is the American people. And I think that if we have a series of televised public hearings into this president's misdeeds, where we can see the equivalent of Michael Cohen over and over, so Americans can actually see it, what you'll see is the American people insisting that this president be held to account, that all those people who are behind the president are really behind the president because they think it's in their political interest. And when the American people insist that something happens, we get our way. And so what we've really been pushing is what I would describe as democracy, that the American people, we have 8 million people who've signed our petition. But much more than that, what we want is the American people to be brought into this equation, our voices to be heard. Let us judge.
I mentioned the poll of 39%. You feel that an open congressional investigation and impeachment could actually move that needle to a significant degree?
Well, Michael, the one hearing that they've had, which was Michael Cohen, moved at 6%. We know that in 1974, the movement was supported by 30% when they started hearings and was way over 50% by the time they were through. So do I believe it? I think anybody would believe it, because I think that would be, if you think about all the people they could call,
If you think about just calling Mueller or McGahn, how about calling Jared Kushner and Donnie Jr.? Do you think you'd tune in?
Yeah, I would definitely tune in. I tune in to see Michael Cohen, but Michael Cohen already had a conviction, and the argument is no conviction of President Trump. And the other argument is you can't indict a sitting president. That's what came out of Attorney General Barr's offices.
But we already knew that, and that's why. I mean, people ask me, why are you pushing for impeachment? Is just a process to get him tried in the Senate. That's the only real option that the Constitution and the Department of Justice leave us.
Excuse me, haven't you found a lot of people confuse impeachment with... I mean, they don't think of it as what it is, which is an indictment, essentially. It's really just an indictment.
Yes, it is an indictment. That's exactly right. I mean, we're in this. This process is confusing at some level because we're using words from the Constitution, which is over 200 years ago. So we're using a lot of fancy words, verily, thou, etc., impeachment, all these things. It's really just saying he's done enough to be tried in the Senate, and we're going to have a process to decide whether he's done enough to be tried in the Senate. And that's what an impeachment is that question.
And you're now taking up the other issue of essentially trying to see that Barr is debarred?
Disbarred.
Disbarred, excuse me. Yeah.
Well, I think what we saw, and I think it's a sad spectacle, is you see somebody basically give up his integrity and his allegiance to the truth in order to serve his master, Donald Trump. So do I believe that Mr. Barr really disgraced himself? Well, of course I do. But in a way, I feel sad for him that he chose to do it. And I think that the real blame for it lies on the guy who's pulling his strings, which is Donald Trump.
And this is going through the Virginia process in the Commonwealth?
Yeah. We've been trying to get people to send in letters or emails or phone to the Bar Association in Virginia, where Mr. Barr is, you know, ensconced as a lawyer, to say he's broken his oath as a lawyer to serve the Constitution and the laws, and he should be disbarred.
We were just talking in the last segment about the notion of actually impeding or presenting an obstacle for not only Mueller to testify, but also for McGahn to testify. I mean, and these things are in the works here. And I think they really lead to the possibility. I use this language with Sean Walsh. He seemed a little resistant to it. But we're talking about constitutional crisis here.
Oh, for goodness sake, Michael. We're in a constitutional crisis. The president is refusing the concept of oversight from Congress. He's refusing any request that they make on anything. That's a constitutional crisis. But I think, and this was the point I was trying to make, the argument over whether he's met the criteria to be removed is over. The question is, what are we going to do about it? I mean, here it is. We're in the crisis. We can see the behavior real time. There's no question about it. He's not hiding it.
Well, he's saying he's totally exonerated. He's been exonerated completely.
He's lying. He's lying straight up. Period. I don't know why. The Washington Post has counted over 10,000 lies. That's a straight up lie.
Let's bring you, our listeners, into this. We have Tom Steyer here until the half hour. I'd like to hear your responses and your thoughts about impeachment. He's an investor, an environmentalist, founder of the Next Gen America and Need to Impeach. And he feels the need to impeach is now, and there's no tarrying and no hesitating. It should have been done, in fact, by his lights. I don't want to speak for you here, Tom, but quite a while ago. And let's hear from you, our listeners. You're invited to join us, and any questions or comments or reactions you have are welcome. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. And you can join us now at that number. We invite you to do that. And you can also email us, forum@kqed.org. But the toll-free number for your calls, 866-733-6786. You can also go online and put questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. How much have you spent on this now? You know, are you keeping tally?
I don't really know. You know, I know that it's a lot of money. I know that we have run TV ads now for a year and a half. I know that we've collected 8 million signatures and done over 50 town halls.
A little under 8 million.
It's 12,000 under 8 million, to be exact. I know we've done over 50 town halls in way over half the states of the United States. So I've talked to literally tens of thousands of Americans about this. And I think that from my standpoint, what I see is an America that's in a vision crisis and a leadership crisis.
Are you getting a lot of positive response? By that, I mean comparable to, you know, there was Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but Hillary Clinton won the popular vote because of the two coasts, the Atlantic coast and the Pacific coast, basically, and the big cities in the West Coast and East Coast. What about the heartland? I mean, are they responding to you?
Look,
we get great response everywhere. Now, it may be, when I go to these town halls, it may be that Americans
maybe self-selected. Yes,
that's what I'm saying. But what we see across the country is, and I think this is true across party lines, Michael, I think that Americans are very concerned about this country. And I think that they're worried that what they believe it stands for is slipping away. And I think that there are many Americans, most Americans, are determined to try and get it back. And that's really what we're trying to enable and empower, the voice of the American people to stand up for their values and to be heard by their elected representatives. So those elected representatives, in effect, are not saying to Americans, we're in charge, we do what we want, you listen to us. But instead, we're listening to you. You, the American people, are in charge. And we understand how nervous you are about losing your democracy, and we're going to protect that democracy for you at your behest above all else.
Here's someone speaking about support through a tweet. Kathleen says, keep on keeping on. We need to be rid of this treasonous administration so we can begin to undo the destruction and move forward once again. Another listener asks, why not harness the one power that can't be taken away in a capitalist society, our economic power? If we organize around our spending, especially with a luxury boycott, couldn't we accomplish Trump's removal quickly and legally?
You know, it is true that people really respond to economic forces and boycotts. It's hard to make them happen. And so, in effect, this is a political, we're in a political crisis. I wish people would get over that, whether that's true. That's 100% true. We're in a political crisis, and the way out of it is going to be political, which is Americans coming together around a vision, again, of who we are and what the country stands for and what we're trying to accomplish together in the 21st century. That's actually, Michael, what I'm in favor of.
Again, Tom Steyer with us in studio. Investor, environmentalist, and founder of Next Gen America and Need to Impeach. And let's get a caller on here. That's you, Tom. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't understand this business with impeachment. Nancy Pelosi was right on the dime. I really believe the Senate will not convict him. He will be elected again. And the only way to get this guy is to go after his tax records. Put your energy and your money into getting the IRS to open up his tax records. That will take care of him, just like they did with that mobster back in Chicago.
Yeah, which mobster are we talking about?
Al Capone.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Sam Giancana. A number of names come to mind. Al Capone indeed went to jail for tax evasion. But Tom Steyer, what about going? They're trying to get the tax returns, and so far no success on that score either. You've got the head of the IRS who's resisting. You've got Steve Mnuchin resisting.
Well, first of all, let's just go to the law, which says that the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee has an absolute right to request the taxes of any American.
And he has.
And he's requested them. But the president and his administration are resisting every single request from Congress, including his taxes. And that's exactly the point, is that we have a president who is refusing categorically to accept Congress's power and is categorically refusing to accept the laws of the United States as they appealed, as they relate to him, because he believes he's above the law. And the question here is, if you let that kind of behavior stand, you're making a statement about the law itself. You're saying, in fact, we'll throw the book at some kid of 18 who breaks the law, who's poor and powerless, but the richest and most powerful among us can walk. It's too much of a pain. It's too difficult to hold them to account. So we're going to just let them go. That's a huge issue for a country that is supposedly governed by laws, not by people.
And let me thank the caller and go right on to another caller. That's you, Mike. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm wondering, why don't the billionaires all get together and buy Fox News? I mean, solve the problem from the source. Because it's education that I think we're lacking right now about what's right and wrong.
So that is actually, Michael, a very smart question, because I think we all know that what's going on here is we have a fact-free zone supporting the president that includes Fox News, where they literally don't deal with the truth. And in fact, they are an organ of this administration and a mouthpiece for this administration. the actual solution of having billionaires buy it, I'd say probably most billionaires love the fact that Fox News is behaving the way it is and are supportive of it. But the point that we have a press that is not dealing objectively with the facts, but is a propaganda mouthpiece for this president and this administration, is very distorting to American society. And it's something that is causing it very difficult to have a political conversation because people aren't sharing the same facts, they're not sharing the same information, and they're not sharing even the same language.
Well, speaking of billionaires, I have to ask you, because it's come up on a number of occasions, there was a lot of concern certainly voiced about Ilhan Omar and others in the Democratic side, new representatives particularly being anti-Semitic. And, you know, you get into that whole murky area of what's anti-Semitic, what's anti-Israeli, or, and so forth. But Kevin McCarthy linked you and George Soros and Mike Bloomberg and said, you know, in effect, these are the people who are controlling the media and controlling our country, and you're all Jewish. So how does that not qualify as anti-Semitism? Somehow, I guess
I thought
it gets
that was
a pass.
Anti-Semitism.
But it got more of a pass than Ilhan Omar and all these Democratic representatives.
Look, I think that we're in a period where we're being divided on every way that we can be divided because we don't have a common vision and a common mission as Americans. And I think that that's something which will continue until we can look forward and see what it is we're trying to accomplish.
Even if you impeach the president, we're still going to be polarized and divided.
Wait a second. Let me say this. I think we all know that if we're going to remove this president, it's going to be something that goes across party lines, across geographic lines, that is basically going to be Americans reaffirming their basic values. So, in fact, if you actually want to pull things together, people say this will be divisive, and I can understand the way it's being approached right now is on partisan lines. But what you really see is for it to work, we actually have to put aside partisanship. We know that we'd be replacing this president with a conservative Republican from Indiana. So, in fact, what we're talking about here is standing for the rule of law, stepping up for basic American values, and doing something together that's an accomplishment, and so that we can go back to the idea of that Americans are people who get things done. If you look at we have a dysfunctional federal government that cannot get the basics of government done. And you can look back and it's obvious they can't handle gun violence. They can't handle comprehensive immigration reform. They can't handle climate. The basic tasks of the federal government are going undone, unmet, and really can't even be discussed anymore.
I'm going to read a couple comments that are coming in. Bob says, just another contributor to all the political noise that holds us back. Your efforts will probably lead to more votes for Trump than against him in the next election. You've heard that criticism, Tom, haven't you?
Well, I think, honestly, if you go and look, let's talk for a second about the idea that what we're going to do is turn out Republicans. If you look at 2018, the midterm elections, 11 million more Republicans voted in 2018 than voted in 2014. They won by 10% in 2014. They lost by 9% nationwide in 2018. Why is that true? Because a whole bunch more Democrats voted. In fact, what we're looking, when people say that Republicans are going to be excited to vote by what we're doing, Republicans are going to be excited to vote full stop. The question is there going to be a voice and a leadership that's going to inspire Democrats to vote, which there was in 18, but that this is a question of being clear, having something to say, and leadership. The idea that we're going to inspire Republicans to vote, they're already inspired to vote.
And here's Charles who says, why on earth is Tom Steyer wasting so much money on impeachment when he could be focusing on retaking the Senate, ending gerrymandering, and enfranchising ex-felons? Trump isn't the only fight that matters. And I'd add to that, because I know you've heard a good deal of pushback on the idea that the Congress has to do the kinds of things that you have enjoined them to do and you feel strongly they should be doing, like health care and immigration, comprehensive immigration you mentioned before. Also come up with something about infrastructure, which maybe there's some talk about now. But in other words, we can get bogged down by impeachment. We can avoid what the House of Representatives might really be rolling up its sleeves to do for the American people.
Well, let me just say, our organization is the largest grassroots organization in the United States. In 2018, we did the largest youth voter mobilization in American history. We hit 10 million doors with our allies in the organized labor movement. We ran three direct democracy propositions on clean energy in purple states, Michigan, Arizona, and Nevada. So if you want to talk about retaking the Senate, if you want to talk about holding the House, we do more door-to-door empowerment of the American people, encouragement to turn out, than anyone else in the United States. So for people who think we've missed that point, I would suggest they actually go on our website and see how much we haven't missed that point, that what we're trying to do is return power directly to the American people away from Washington, D.C., and to get it to where it belongs, which is to the mass of people who feel like they've been abandoned by Washington and that the establishment does not care about them or pay attention to them.
But you have to have the candidates. You know, you have three really reasonable Democratic candidates who are thinking about running to the Senate and just said no recently, I mean, within the last week or so.
Which one are you talking about, Mike?
I'm talking about Castro was one, and I think who else. Names are going blank right now in my head, but there were three that were singled out, and they were certainly leading in news.
Well, Stacey Abrams may be one of
them. Stacey Abrams was one of them, yeah, from Georgia. And I'll have to think about the third for a moment. It may come to me, it may not. But, you know, the fact is that they're not running for reasons, whatever they may be, and these are strong possible candidates.
Look, I don't think that this should be a specific individually driven thing. I think the point here is going to be, do we have a shared vision for what America is supposed to be? If you think about where we are, we're at the bankrupt, morally and intellectually bankrupt end of the Reagan Revolution. That's what we can see. And we can see what it's led to. And we need a different, truer, better vision for the 21st century. And that is absolutely what this country is crying out for. And I think most Americans believe not just do we not have that, but that the political establishment responds to the big corporate givers. And that's their number one. That's who they look to service and to please, as opposed to the people of the United States.
And here's Lars, who raises concerns, as many have, about Mike Pence being in the office that President Trump's now in. Go ahead, Lars. You're on.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Tom. I've been following you for a while. I am indeed concerned about Pence, and I think that the youth of America today really need a push towards the Green New Deal, toward integrity, toward speaking truth. And I more than anything would like to see this president impeached in their cabinet. But I think that the value that we need to move toward as a global citizenry is integrity, protection of our planet, and a duty to protect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that statement. You're not as concerned about Mike Pence?
Well, let me, before I even say that, Michael, I want to say to Lars, I 1,000% agree with what you're saying. That the integrity and adherence to truth and the sustainability of the planet has got to be foremost in our mind all the time. Secondly, with regards to Michael Pence, look, I don't agree with, as far as I know, Mike Pence on anything, and in particular, some of his attitudes towards the LGBTQ community are personally offensive to me in a very deep way. Having said that, I don't believe that he is a threat to the system in the way that Donald Trump is, and he doesn't scare me one bit in terms of his appeals to the American people, because I believe that Lars' attitude to him would be echoed by the vast majority of Americans.
That'll leave it there. Tom Steyer, thank you for joining us.
Michael Krasny, thank you for having me.